there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Welcome to the 24th episode of The Conversation. Today we're going to look at Wonder Woman, a superhero film. What is up with that superhero film?
Yeah, I don't know.
But first we're going to chat a little bit about important stuff. So what's going on, Rene?
What's going on? I've been watching so many movies now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Because we've had a visitor from Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we got, when Raskva was being put to bed and everything, then we just wanted to do some Netflix stuff.
Okay.
And it's a little bit easier when you have visitors just to put on Netflix movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, I did fall asleep to some of them because... it's not that great stuff. There was one called Kind of Murder. I think it's a new Netflix film produced by Netflix.
Good.
With Patrick Wilson, I think his name is. I don't want to spend time talking about it. It was not that interesting.
Okay.
But one movie that we did watch was Tiny Furniture.
Oh.
The Lena Dunham movie.
I do not have access to that here on my Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So...
You would probably love it, I think, because you're like a super fan of Girls, the TV series. And this is basically just the beginning of Girls.
Oh.
In a way.
I kind of have to see that.
Yeah, it's not combined. It's not about Girls, but Ray is in it. And
as Ray or
and no as Jed.
Yeah.
So keep it for three letter names.
Okay.
And Jessa is there. Some other people are there. Can't quite remember, but at least they're like the main guys there.
Okay.
And then Lena herself.
Lena. I think there was a mini celebrity scandal thing this week with Lena. Something about her dog.
Hmm.
Yeah. I.
Let's keep it current. What's up with Lena's dog?
I don't know. I didn't. I didn't finish. I didn't even finish watching. Reading the headline. So, but apparently there was people were shocked and appalled. Some of them.
Okay.
But that happens. I'm told.
Oh no!
Yeah, the angry people on Facebook were really angry. So,
Well, I can tell you that Tiny Furniture is a very nice little movie. Not much is going on in it. You probably don't want to hear too much about it, but you know, it's just she has graduated, comes back to live with her mom in New York, and. Tries to make a living after having an education that she can't really use for anything.
Like so many of us.
Yeah. So.
yeah, good. Anything else worth mentioning? I mean, we were planning to talk about, of course, Scum.
Yeah. And we've been watching that as well, of course.
Yeah.
Maybe just before we get into Scum, just one other movie was Talula.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about that one? But with Ellen Page?
I have not really heard about that, no.
No. I would... it's a decent movie.
Okay.
Oh my God, this is... Yeah, it's just a very boring introduction here. Two movies that are kind of all right. That you like Tiny Furniture, you should kind of watch. Talula... It's about Ellen Page, who is a woman or a girl who doesn't want to settle down and is being thrown into kidnapping a toddler because she can see that this toddler is not having a great time with his mother, who is a drunk and, you know, is not caring about him. So she kidnaps the toddler to try to prove a point. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, Juno, Ellen Page is pregnant, teen pregnancy. Tallulah, she's stealing a toddler and trying to care for it. So,
okay,
different sides of the same coin, maybe.
I guess. But nothing really that memorable for you, maybe.
Not exactly. I mean, it was pretty quickly out of my head. And there's also some problems with it. Story-wise, I think like some motivation stuff. It seems like they jump very quickly to conclusions in order to move the plot forward.
Okay,
but it was a decent film. Like if you have an evening and want to watch Ellen Page, who is a really good actor.
Yeah, I like her. Yeah,
yeah.
She has a lot of goodwill with me after Juno.
Yeah, I have yet to see Juno.
Really.
Yes.
Well, you should. It's very, very cute. Cute is the word there. Mm-hmm. And what is his name from? Michael Cera.
Michael Cera.
Michael Cera. Yeah. Yes. He was. They were just really good, both of them, and the adults as well. So, very nice little movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will watch it at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? Have you been watching anything other than what we're planning on watching or talking about this time?
Well, we talked about last time that we're going to look at Glow, but we have not started that over here.
No.
We did start the latest season of Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just it's okay. It's okay, but it's something you watch over dinner.
Okay.
Kind of thing. But I'm looking forward to Glow. But I did make an attempt to see a film this week. But I got like two-thirds of the way through before little people started screaming at me. So I didn't finish it yet. But it's called Night of the Hunter from 1950. Two, I believe, something like that.
Yeah.
By Charles Laughton, who was who's an actor. This is the only film he directed.
Okay.
I hope I'm saying the names correctly. I didn't write this down.
Night of the Hunter.
Yeah, The Night of the Hunter. It's with...
I'm just looking it up here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's the name of the main actor again?
Robert Mitchum.
Robert Mitchum, of course, yeah. Mm. And it's... really kind of, it didn't, was really well received at the time, and it's gotten like a second wind in recent years, but there were definitely some problems with it from my perspective, even the first hour. It's just, I'm not like, I don't have to finish it.
Okay.
It's one of those films where you have some really good groundbreaking stuff. But some like huge problems with how, like you just described, how they move the plot forward and stuff like that. And of course, it's in the 50s, and it's just looking at it now, it's sometimes a little difficult. But I hope to finish it.
Okay.
And
what was the reason why you chose that movie?
I was just looking at some article. I believe I even sent you this article about.
Probably
something. Yeah, and you didn't look at it.
No, just disregarded it.
Yeah.
What? You want me to read?
And I decided to check it out and read a little bit about it. I think, isn't he called Charles Laughton, this actor?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And director.
And director for this one film. But I'm not really in a place to talk about it fully since I haven't seen the last
the
third.
Whole thing no
but I did have a have a kind of a we're gonna go into the Wonder Woman later but I did later. Have a kind of a okay Hollywood experience yesterday, of course. I went to see Wonder Woman yesterday, but before I saw most part of A Night at the Museum.
Okay.
Yes. It was on TV. And, you know,
and you had good You had one good Hollywood experience that day.
I mean, it was a good Hollywood day. What can I say?
Okay.
They didn't. They didn't really screw me over. I mean, Night at the Museum was really fun, funny.
Yeah.
It's just clever and just a really nice.
Yeah.
And
I liked the first one. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the first one, and
yeah,
and Wonder Woman wasn't.
Now, don't spoil it.
No. Okay. Let's keep it for a while.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm excited to talk about Scum, I have to say.
Me too. Yeah. Me too, actually. So Scum has finally concluded. Fourth season. Won't be anything more. They really had to wrap it up this time.
Can I just say one thing about that? I mean, they have a year left at the school, and this all has been building up to this whole Russebus this thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
we don't get to see the final year and the whole Russebus thing. That is, I find that a little bit odd. They didn't
It seems odd that they wrap it up with another party and not the Russebus.
Yeah.
But in my episode tracking app, it does say that there is one more episode, but it is yet to be announced.
Are you kidding me?
Whoa. Commercials in my app.
This is allowed in the live show next time, but
yes, but not now.
Not now. No, no, no.
I'm going to cut that sound out.
I will have to talk to the producer.
Yeah, and I'll be right across from you.
Yeah, yeah.
It says here, season 4, episode 11, not available yet.
Really?
I don't know if it's a problem with my app.
Okay.
But it's there.
That's really interesting. I'm kind of thinking it's a problem with your app.
Could be, but it could also be that there would be one final episode with the bus trip.
I mean, it could be a
in one
even
year.
It could even be a TV film of some sort.
Oh yeah.
For next winter. What do you think?
It could be.
Could be.
But still, would we really want that?
I want more Scum, Rune. Let's just. I'm just gonna.
So, what did you feel about this last season of Scum? No, did it live up to the expectations from the last three seasons?
Yes, it did. I mean.
I see you're not wearing your Scum T-shirt.
No. my son is currently sleeping with that in his arms.
Okay.
So, but speaking of that, I did, however, order 4 more Scum T-shirts, and one of them says, like here over the heart, like fuck boy.
Okay, so I guess that's Penetrator Chris.
Yeah, no, it's just. I don't know. But he had a surprise appearance there, Penetrator Chris.
He did.
Are we going to talk spoilers? Well, people have seen
this. Yeah, let's do that. Because I mean, you have to watch it. If you haven't, then
but you asked me,
do it now.
You asked me if it was up to scratch, and I feel it was. But you had such lofty expectations after the first three. I mean, I feel maybe the number 2 with Noura was the best one, maybe.
Yeah.
2 and 3, if you have to pick, you know, it's 2 and 3 that really are really, really the best ones. But this whole thing, how they approach this dilemma Sana has, her life is one huge dilemma. It's just really difficult, and they kind of get the feeling why it's difficult, and it's stuff you haven't really thought about, because we have kind of a big Polish minority people that come from Poland, and they work in the fishing industry or the building industry, and like maybe lower paying jobs that Icelanders don't want. And people talk about they just huddle up and talk to their own kind. Don't really mix, but they do mix. They do mix more than people say. But looking at season 4, you can really understand why that is. And I'm reminded of the conversation between Yusuf and Sana, where Yusuf talked about this, and he said something like, "This is like basically because people don't want to be alone, and you kind of search for your own kind." And he described a party. I don't know why he's described this
party religion,
theater party,
revue party,
something.
I think it's like the year party at the school.
Okay.
You know, like the revue, there you always make this kind of like a show about the teachers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Still, it made me think. People do that. I mean, you come to a party and you start looking for your friends. You stand with your friends.
It was a very good analogy.
Very good. I think. And he was really, really smart for his age, I would have to say. Also.
And, I think it's a necessary evil with this season because they have very high expectations also themselves by tackling this issue altogether.
Yeah.
And they will need some people who are very, very clear in how they're speaking and how they're describing these issues. And I think maybe that's a few times where I understand why they need it. But it also didn't feel completely like Scam. It felt more like somebody had written what they needed to say, you know, because it fitted so perfectly. But they needed to say it.
I do understand what you mean. And I agree with you, partly at least.
Yeah, I mean, there were two conversations. There's that long one with Yusuf. A very good conversation. I mean, they do it really well. But you do wonder whether all of those words is his. And also, like, the same goes for Sana, really. And the same with that conversation with Isak and Sana.
Yeah, yeah.
It was also a little bit, like, on point.
It was very much on point, and I was just saying to my girlfriend, Shep, I said I was nothing like this at this age. I was compared to this, I was just a moron at this age.
But then again, he also is tackling his own issues and knows where she's coming from to a certain extent.
Isak, yes,
but still, it seems like it's thoughts that should be. You know, would be able to be explained a little bit later in life, and maybe not when you're 16.
But Yusuf is, I think, 20.
Yeah, he's a little bit older. And he has also decided more things about his own religion.
Yeah, he's decided he's not religious. And, I mean, Sana obviously has thought a lot about this as well. And this is their lives. I mean, I'm thinking Yusuf comes from a Muslim family and Muslim community. So this is stuff he knows.
Yeah.
And it's not out of the realm of possibility that a 20-year-old can be this, this smart. But it was the tiniest bit, if you want to pick at something, you could say it was a little bit too grown up.
Yeah, but I do think it's a whole, like, they needed it.
They did.
For this season. They couldn't just keep it at this, dismissive level.
Yeah.
Like, all in all, it was a very good season. I was still hesitant about it. Like, we had a break also with watching it as you might recall, we started watching it with the season.
Exactly.
But then we stopped at the third or second episode, actually.
Yeah.
When we started watching it again, like the fifth episode is so pivotal to the whole season. Like it really, like everything starts to fall apart and you get to see what Sana is really struggling with. Like up until that point, it is basically just scam with all the friends, but just with Sana as a focus. And she also has some love interests and stuff like that. And you're like, yeah, okay, where does this story take us?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it goes into the whole, like much more of the religious nature of her being tormented with like what should she choose and why should she be strong in her faith and all of that. And I just remember thinking to myself, wow, I mean, they really went here. And this is extremely important for just media today, that you see these stories from the viewpoint of Muslim teenagers or like Muslim people in general.
Exactly. I agree.
I was just very proud of Scam for daring to do it.
They've done it before. I mean, all the stuff they've tackled, the mental illness, the coming out as gay, the sexual abuse, revenge porn kind of thing they did with Noura.
Yeah.
And all kinds of issues that you don't really, well, that are not tackled this well. But episode five, that's the one where they sing Imagine, yes?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Where you start to think, okay, Sana is just going to do this thing. She's going to keep it all together and things will be fine. Of course, we're halfway through the season.
Yeah. Exciting.
Everything
incident.
Is not going to be fine.
Of course not. Not for a while, though.
Yeah.
But I was so happy when they were singing. You've said before you should have a camera on me when I'm watching this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh my God, this is beautiful. And I was in tears. And then all of a sudden, they kind of... they crush you after that scene. They kind of everything falls apart.
Yeah, everything,
and that's how it is being a teenager, isn't it?
I guess so. Yeah. I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. You have not hit puberty yet.
I've never been a teenager. I've not been in those situations. At least.
I guess. Okay. Mm. Still, being a teenager is not easy. So that was a good episode.
Yeah, it was a very good episode, and they continue to be good. But I mean, because we're talking so flowery about this whole Scam thing, and it is very, very good. Mm-hmm. I did have the feeling that it started to drag on a little bit. Like by the eighth episode, I was starting to think, okay, what are they actually going to spend the time on now? Because things seem to have been like wrapped up
a bit
and
of an end
things
point.
Okay. Like, what will they do? And then, like, it was still good. It was still good, but it was just a little bit uneventful in a way.
They could have structured it a bit better. But
yeah,
then
they could have tightened it up.
We kind of needed William to come in.
But that was just comical, right? But he's always comical when he comes in his BMW and in the slow motion and flips his hair.
The slow motion walk jump cut thing. That's what I love I love most about this. And they know what they're doing it. They know it's funny for us now that. But they still do it, and I love that. And it's just,
But they did it less in this season. They started doing this wrestler thing. You know, the Aronofsky movie with Mickey Rourke?
Yeah.
When they shoot most of the movie from the back, and you just have his big back in the middle of the shot. There were so many of those shots in this season, with Sana walking like that, and Sana and Yusuf walking like that, and... seeing them within the world, and the world is all like blurry around them.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't seen that before, I think, in the other episodes of Scum, or like the other seasons. So that's like a different trait.
You know what? I've been waiting for this season four for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the cinematography and all kinds of stuff before. I barely noticed stuff like that this time. I was just so, for me, season four was all about the story and all the Muslim stuff and all the implications surrounding that. So I was immersed in the topics.
And I've never seen any movie do the whole texting thing as well as they do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so ingrained in the whole style, and it fits so well. It fits so extremely well. Sometimes they just have this long shot of a face and you see them sit there and text.
Yes.
And you just read the text on the side of the screen and it's completely fine. You don't notice the expressions or anything. And
exactly. Like, and this is just how life is now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It is. And especially like it's a great insight into, you know, teen culture now, because this is the way that you communicate also with your friends in school. And I mean, when I went in high school, we did do MSN, you know, Messenger stuff, or ICQ, or AIM, even American Online, chatting. But I had a Nokia 3210, you know, I could write text messages and I was really good at it without looking and everything.
You are still,
on that T9 thing. but still, it was a different kind of, like, you still met up much more. And here there's a whole storyline that just goes on online, basically. It has real world implications, but you have the whole story unfold in text messages within Scum.
This is why when Sana decides to call Yusuf on the phone, we were just, me and Sean were just looking at it. Yes, she's going to call him. And I have a story here, because Sean's sister, Rosemary, which sometimes listens to us, maybe she's going to hear this. She had a date and she met some guy online, whatever, you know, I don't know, Tinder or whatever. They had never talked on the phone or live before they went on this date, but they had been like Snapchatting and online messaging for a while, but never talked. And Shep asked her, so haven't you talked to him yet? Like, on Snapchat. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But no. Haven't you called him on the phone? And then she just got like this funny face, but no. Why would I do that?
Using the landline?
Why would I do that? Is the implication. So that's just how it is now. And Rosemary's like almost 20 years old. Yeah. So she's it's the same generation.
Yeah, she
so
is.
So that's...
But that was also one thing I was thinking. I was like, where did she have his number from? Of course, friends on Facebook and all that. But she had just said that she didn't have his number. And then all of a sudden he called her. Or she called him. I thought it was a mistake. But but then I was thinking maybe it was a Facebook call.
I don't know. It was a Hangouts call or...
Maybe. Skype.
Whatever.
No.
Who knows?
Yeah, but I was taken out of the moment there.
Of course,
like, but you don't have his phone number.
So much getting taken out of moments.
Yeah,
stuff. That every episode. That's your kind of phrase, but that kind of took me out of it.
But it did.
Yeah. Well.
But then I understood. That was all right. You know.
But it was a big moment for me when she did call him. It was a real statement of intent. Mm.
How did you feel about his first response?
I had a hope that he was joking, but he kind of took it a little bit too far for me, for my comfort.
Eh? I mean, she could have hung up already.
Yeah, she could have. And she maybe would have.
Yeah,
A couple of months earlier.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. But so all Sanna right. is the main character. And
if you haven't gathered
she,
yet.
She immediately we see signs of weakness. We hadn't seen signs of weakness in Sanna before. Mm-mm. Because that's her persona. Mm-hmm. But immediately when you look at the character, and this is what they do so well. Mm-hmm. They kind of deconstruct the characters so you kind of get to see inside them. Mm-hmm. And they did that really well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as soon as you take her back to her home surroundings, where she can't keep up that facade all the time, tries to, but can't, then it's kind of a different story. And we've just never been taken there. I mean, we've only seen her as this hard-boiled... Well, it shines through a little bit sometimes with her discussions with Noora.
Yeah.
But she's a hard person.
Yes. And for the first time, we get the real sense of the parents or parent. Mm-hmm. But that's necessary because her traditions and religion and all that is so much to do with the parents. So it's mm-hmm. kind of necessary. I had a feeling I have a feeling they didn't even want to have the parents involved at all. And
Scott. No, like in the beginning, they also just didn't show the parents' faces.
Yeah, no faces.
And I thought that's such a great way of dealing with it.
Well, except also, like, Eva's mother came in the first season.
Yeah, she did.
Scene, I think. Mm-hmm. And cameo here as well, memorable one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Season 4 with.
Chris. Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes. Yeah. So, a question for you. This season has 10 episodes.
Yes.
How did you feel about the final one?
I was really happy to see how long it was.
Uh huh.
Yes. And
complete opposite with me, actually.
I was really happy about it, Rune. I was mm-hmm. really happy that how they decided to kind of finish it off with mm-hmm. all the short stories, and really happy to see in the end Chris, mm-hmm. and not Pendridicus, got a bit of a.
She literally got her 15 minutes.
Yes.
Of fame.
Yes.
There.
Well put. Well put. But it was a really nice kind of thing. I mean, you can criticize some plot elements like Jonas and Eva back together kind of thing. But but these are teenagers. Things happen. Stuff like that happens.
Yeah.
If you want to pick at it, I understand that. And I do.
Yeah.
But the final scene, mm-hmm. that was really good for me.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of take you out of it and they kind of put it like you're watching TV in the TV. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And the final message is, which is kind of the message of Scum, you know, spread the love kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Really left me with a warm, fuzzy feeling as you,
okay.
The one you know I like.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. Exactly. I was a little bit bored. I looked at the time and I was like, okay, this is an hour episode. Everything has been wrapped up with Sanna, basically. So this is just going to be, well, all the other characters because it's the last season. And true enough, they started off wrapping all of them up, even introducing a bit more detail into some of the characters where we already knew that there was something going on, but we probably didn't, like, I didn't feel like I needed to get more into it, like, or get it, like, spelled out in that way all the time.
I wanted to see a little bit more into Ville's life.
Yeah,
I was hoping she was character the main character in number four. But
I would have wanted more of Vilde.
Yeah.
Also, but since we didn't get it, I think like getting this little taste, it's just like, I don't know. It seems like fan service to me, like because everybody wants a season with Vilde somehow, but now she's not going to get it. Anyway, maybe that's the feature film that's coming up.
I absolutely see your point on it, but I'm very happy to disagree with you.
Yeah.
Very happy. I was just so happy there was an hour and I was just so in it and it flew by like 20 minutes.
Yeah, but it didn't for me. I was always thinking, okay, why are these two people together now? Why are these two people together now? Like, why are we focusing on this guy? Why are we focusing on Penetrator Chris, for instance, all of a sudden? Why is Jonas with what's her name? I don't remember.
I think they decided to just widen the focus a bit because you have been focusing on Sana and her struggles. And but the whole scum thing is like a to quote something else.
Embrace
like the extended scum universe. So you have all these characters, and they get there like you say, 15 minutes or 5 minutes or whatnot, and it kind of reminds us that this is. All these characters are there, and they all have a story, and they leave us even with stuff we don't really know. I mean, we know that William is under pressure to do something, to move somewhere else or whatever.
True.
That's unresolved. He does say that he's going to stay, but we don't know. So that's good as well. We don't know what's going to happen with Jonas and Eva, and
no,
but. I'm talking about like these are real people, but they're not, they're just. But that's the extended scam universe. But I'm really happy to disagree with you on that one.
Although I'm looking take forward to seeing your figurines, your scam figurines, your collection.
I'm not really that figurine kind of guy, but I am T-shirt kind of guy. Got the T-shirt. Yes. Four t-shirts, Rune. I bought. Yes, they're arriving next week. Yes, for myself. Yes. They're arriving next week, and I will be waiting.
Then you have 5 scam t-shirts, so you can wear one each day.
Yes.
When will the fuckboy t-shirt come on?
You know, I don't know.
Like which day of the week?
I don't know. I don't know. I just thought it was a nice touch. Yes. I did. Okay. I was ordering on this site, Redbubble or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like 11 or 12 that I had picked out.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, no, Trippi, come on. This is too much. So I kind of whittled it down to 4. But now I have 5 then. So I can wear a scam t-shirt most days, you know.
Okay. But that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. I'm really happy about it.
So, but last remark then. I did not care for the speech at the end. Maybe the speech, but I had no idea why Jonas would make a speech for Sana or like say it. But then I was reminded, okay, the whole scum experience started with Jonas doing exactly the same kind of speech with how the world is today. And it actually made me go back and rewatch the first episode of the first season because of it.
I forget.
Yeah. And it's Jonas who is doing the introductory voiceover with a lot of the same like imagery.
Okay.
It was obviously to tie it all up in a nice little bow to have Jonas do it. But it made no sense at all. It was such a written thing. It was like, hey, this will make it all tie together nicely. And Yeah.
I agree with that. It would have made more sense to have Anura do it or one of them girls.
Yeah, and it didn't, like, it was weird. Like, he had not gotten a lot of time anyway this whole season, or maybe even the last one. Mm-hmm. And then he comes up and does the ending, like the epilogue or whatever it's called. You know, it's a little bit weird. And I also found it a bit weird that all these people came to Sana's party, you know, by ending the Ramadan Eid party. Mm-hmm. But maybe I had missed something. I thought it was only the girls who would be coming, and all of a sudden the whole like school, or like, well, the whole class is just coming.
She
and
even invited the enemy.
Yeah.
From the Pepsi Max group.
Yes, exactly. And they came. I mean, they're bitches, right?
Well,
they wouldn't be coming to this party.
But still, Rune, even if they're bitches, they're still people. Bitches are people, yes, as well. And that's if we learned one thing, that we know, we just, people are human, and some people look from the outside like being a total bitch or whatever, but maybe that's not the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I, for one, would like to see Ingrid, you know, like a season with her, because she's always being pitched as this bitch, yeah, all the time from the Pepsi Max group.
That's the one that was Eunice's girlfriend from
before. The beginning.
Yeah.
And that's the really fun part, you know, like, go back and rewatch the first episode. And you just recognize all the characters. And I remember watching that first episode and thinking, all right, it's just like a high school thing. I mean, who is this person? Who is that? Like, whatever. I'm following this Eva person and, you know, it's fine. But Noura, Ingrid, like Isaac, Jonas, Wilde, also Chris, mm-hmm, and Penetrator Chris is also introduced in that first episode, you know? Because Chris and Penetrator Chris are mixed up, mm-hmm, you know. And, you know, I've never done a show here saying Penetrator so many times.
That may be the most funniest thing I've ever seen on TV, that naming that group Penetrators.
Yeah,
that's,
I know.
That's, it's more like junior high than 17-year-olds. I mean, 18-year-olds. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But still, talking about...
I'm not quite sure what they refer to, though.
No, no, it's really...
The cool guys.
Yes, yes.
Cool guys.
Yes, the penetrators.
Yes.
But the most funny character of them all, mm-hmm, well, maybe the funniest character I've seen on TV ever, is the school nurse.
Yeah.
With the dildo there on the table. And
Always.
Always with the dildo. And always funny. Everything she says is funny, mm-hmm, and you just like laughing out loud every time she comes on.
Yeah, she is really good, but she is the one that seems like she screams much more like, you are an actor. You, like, this is different. Like, whenever they go into that doctor's room, I know I'm in for comedy. Right?
Okay,
am I right?
Okay. Okay. I mean, I don't know how to respond to that. I mean, she's a funny character. She has her whole existence in the show is in that room.
Yeah.
And,
you never see her outside.
She also has a function within the show, and that is showing us that they are teenagers. Even, mm-hmm, if we're immersed in their problems and their lives and what they're doing. You come to the school nurse and she kind of schools them on all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she's always funny. And you know, there, I mean, you can't, people are like that sometimes, like she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she is.
And
she
don't know how to respond to, you expect comedy. I mean, how am
but
I?
But don't you?
Yes.
Yes.
But she's also...
Because,
kind of,
I mean,
wise.
She is kind of a...
She's kind of wise.
She is wise, but she's also kind of, like...
Animated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Odd.
Odd. Definitely.
Animated. Let's say animated, yeah, yes.
Yes. And with a dildo. And she yes. has a dildo on her table. And that's just who she is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
But I was kind of happy to see Lynn get some a little bit of time now in the final episode, I think it was.
Yeah. Well, you know, basically, I felt like they should have stopped it at the 9th episode. That would have been perfect scum. Like, stop. Like, it was a long frame of Yusuf's face when he was hugging Sana. Mm. And then it stopped. I was like, that would have been perfect. Like, just leave them hanging. So many unclosed ends, but we know life is just going on, you know? Like, life continues. This is, like, teenage years, and none of, like, everything of this matters, but so much else is going to come, you know? Like, it would have been a perfect ending. Just do it, like, a little bit unreleased somehow. Like, a little bit, like,
yeah,
all right. But it would have been the less cheesy ending.
I understand your point again, and yes. I'm very happy to disagree with you.
Yeah.
I like how they tied it up in the end, and okay. I like that they show different realities for different people, like Vilde,
yeah,
and Chris, and so that's us disagreeing.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens.
Exactly,
it happens. So
should we ask for comments about this? You know, if you have different feelings about the 10th episode of Scam, please write in and let us know.
Sure, do that. Yeah. Do that.
That would be great.
That would be great
to hear. And are we done talking about Scam now?
I think that
is that
yeah.
the last time we'll ever talk about
no,
Scam.
No, 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 no.
Until
no.
the feature film.
No, no, no. We'll mention Scam at various points through okay. down the line, I think. But yeah. I think it concludes our discussion of Scam for today.
Yes.
But
and
maybe,
then we can
yeah we're going to mention it in relation to Wonder Woman. I'm thinking also, but
you think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
But let's move on. Next, it's Wonder Woman.
What is your mission?
To stop the war.
What war?
The war to end all wars.
Weapons far deadlier than you can ever imagine.
The war can be ours.
Whoever you are in more danger than you think.
I cannot stand by while innocent lives are lost.
Be careful, Diana.
Who is this woman?
She's my secretary.
What is a secretary?
I go where he tells me to go and I do what he tells me to do.
Yeah, well, where I'm from, that's called slavery.
I really like her.
Fantastic. Oh, ladies, after you.
I do. I like her.
That was a clip from the new Wonder Woman movie, the blockbuster of the summer. Well, one of them, along with Spider-Man and whatnot, is coming out here. Planet of the Apes. Mm. Well, Wonder Woman, we decided to talk about last week because we were doing Scam, which is all about empowerment, and it's focusing so much on women and like these female characters. And what better way of celebrating the summer blockbuster season? Not with Hearthstone, but with Wonder Woman
yeah.
instead.
Yeah.
And if you're not familiar with Wonder Woman, then she is an Amazon princess from somewhere in the world, like protected from the outside world of man all of her life. And all of a sudden, a World War I fighter pilot is crashing into her little secret island paradise. And Paradise Island, as they actually call it sometimes. And she decides to go and help fight the World War.
The Great War, yes.
The Great War, yeah. And find the God of War and defeat him.
Can you tell me, Runa, have you read the comics? At all.
I have not.
Okay, me neither.
There's some details that I assumed were different.
Yeah, so we can just approach this as a film and not be bothered about other stuff. I mean, the character is created in 1941 in the middle of the Second World War. But here we have a kind of a beginning at 1918 in the First World War towards its end. So... So, what did you think? Yeah, I mean, are you happy? Are you happy with it?
I was actually very entertained, and I was. You shouldn't be this happy just to see like a female superhero.
True,
but it was invigorating. Mm-hmm. Finally, to see a superhero that was a female. Like we've had like a long string of superheroes, and sometimes you also get that one off, like a side character, which is a female, but it's never the main person.
Hang on. I just thought of something.
Really? Yes.
Kick-Ass? A few years back?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Kick-Ass is so much in the... as much in the superhero.
It's not in the franchise superhero franchise thing. It's universe like, kind of thing.
It's a bit of an indie thing.
But much better film.
Yeah, yes. In his own right.
Okay.
Yeah. And also Hit Girl is pretty damn awesome.
She is.
Yeah.
Anyways.
but it's great to see a huge franchise finally having a female superhero, a superhero that can actually stand by herself, stand on her own.
And I'm told finally have a tolerable film to put out.
Yeah. I have not seen any of the Zack Snyder films.
No, this is the fourth of the kind of this latest.
Like there was
series.
Man of Steel, yes. Man of Steel, and then there was Batman versus Superman, and what's that?
Suicide Squad.
Oh yeah, Suicide Squad, yes. But that's not with Zack Snyder, I think.
Okay.
But you know, you have two, and it's Superman people films. Mm-hmm. That was one thing that puzzled me a little bit. I didn't think Wonder Woman was a demigod. I didn't think she was actually a god, a goddess, and she's kind of invincible. Like, she's very much, like, related to Superman in some way.
I looked that up, actually, and that only happened, I think, 2011. Okay. The history of the character is, I think, and I'm not an expert... I just read some online articles that that aspect of the character, that she's a daughter of Zeus, just came about 2011. But until then, she had just been constructed of clay. Mm-hmm. And why am I saying this with a straight face? Constructed of clay. Okay. I mean, okay. This is the level we're at now. People are constructed of clay. And related to a god, Greek god, Zeus. Okay.
Yeah, that's how it is.
That's you know. Where we're at now, yes.
They do say that's just a story, I think. Her mom, Connie Nielsen, who is Danish, by the way.
Yes,
grew up in Jutland.
Bravo.
Yes.
Denmark,
yes. And she does speak Danish. No, never
great,
mind.
Great.
She does say that it was just stories. It doesn't really fit. But still, she was constructed by clay because she has...
By her mother, out of clay.
Somehow she was conceived without any males around.
Which would be the only chance on this island of only females, Amazons. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And okay, I have to start with this because I went to see it by myself in the cinema. Huge cinema.
Yes.
Just by myself. And within the first 5 minutes, I almost cried.
Please elaborate.
It was weird. It was weird. I did this a few times throughout the movie. And it's a superhero movie. I'm completely aware of it. But in the beginning, like, disregard the whole shared universe stuff that they introduce it with. That's just silly.
Yes.
Completely silly. But once the movie starts and you get to the island with the Amazons, first up, like, Connie Nielsen and Robin Wright, they do this really well. I mean, they pull off the whole Amazon kick-ass women, you know, strong, powerful.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Absolutely.
I mean, they're great. But then you have that little rascal of a kid princess that's running around. Very little.
Is this something to do with you having a daughter?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe it does. Because then she's standing there and she's looking at all these cool women fighting.
Yeah.
And she's fighting along with them. And you get this close-up of her face and also her upper body. And she's just like imitating them fighting. And I was just tearing up. What can I say? Like, I was just thinking, yes, you can be whatever you want to be.
Good.
You can go there and, you know, don't let anything stop you.
This is because of your daughter, I'm sure.
It is because of my daughter. It's because they tap into that. But again, this is the idea with the movie that women or girls have someone to, like a character to look up to. Like, I actually found a quote. Let me see if I can find it. I think it was from a New Yorker article, but it's the guy who wrote Wonder Woman, or made it in the beginning, who was a psychologist, apparently.
William Moulton Marston.
Yes. Thank you.
He had two relationships at the same time with women. He had two kids with each of these women. Mm-hmm. They were both like really like tough feminist types.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it is thought that they like kind of chipped in with the character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I found this quote from him saying, like, and this is from a press release. Wonder Woman was conceived by Dr. Marston to set up a standard among children and young people of strong, free, courageous womanhood, to combat the idea that women are inferior to men, and to inspire girls to self-confidence and achievement in athletics, occupations, and professions monopolized by men, because the only hope for civilization is the greater freedom, development, and equality of women in fields of human activity. And then he put it like, frankly, Wonder Woman is psychological propaganda for a new type of woman who should, I believe, rule the world.
He deserves credit, this guy. Mm. At the same time, I read, and this is not from a press release, I'm sure.
No.
that he wanted her to be tied up in every comic, in every issue. She was to be tied up.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a comment he said something like, they enjoy that or something like that, being tied up. It's something very chauvinistic, like, crap kind of thing.
I also heard something about some bondage stuff.
Yes.
And the earlier comics, she was tied up a lot.
Maybe
and
his,
they did that on the island.
Maybe his, you know, women were into that. I don't know.
Mm.
Maybe that's his perception. Yeah. I don't know.
You also have that one little conversation in the movie with the fighter pilot and her talking about pleasure.
Yes.
And that men is not really, like, the conclusion is that men are not really necessary for pleasure.
How?
And maybe that that thing is referring to something else.
How true?
Yeah. How true? How true? So anyway, I teared up because of the prospects of my own little kid who can do anything she wants.
I teared up over Scum. You teared up over Wonder Woman. That's
yes.
That's just. I'm just going to say that for the official record.
Yeah, and I actually did it a few times, and I'm not ashamed of it because I think it's a noble cause to finally like have Wonder Woman on the screen because she is a feminist like idol.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it falls into a lot of the superhero tropes, you know. Like the parts of this movie that I liked was probably within the first half of the movie, maybe a little bit beyond that. But once you get to the actual fight and she's kicking ass everywhere and starting to like this whole like superhero showdown, having people that are extremely evil just for the sake of being evil really bugs me. I just can't take it seriously. And like from the beginning, they introduced that Dr. Poison person and Ludendorff, who are just evil. They just want to kill people. And it doesn't seem like they have any other ambition than to kill as many people as possible. And I just disregarded it. I was like, no, I want to see where they're taking her story. This whole thing around it, I'm not going to focus on it. And then it didn't bother me, actually. Like, well, I mean, it bothered me, but I chose to disregard it.
You bring up a good point, and I can say I thought about exactly the same thing, and I'm torn. Much like One Hit Wonder Natalie in Brooklyn, I'm torn. Because
are you going to break into song now?
No, but she. Okay, I'm all with the feminist stuff here. It's necessary. It's cool. And like Cody, I think it was Cody who said when we did this show with the guys from Cinematic Syndrome, he said it's not. He was happy that Zack Snyder was not directing because he said it could have been much worse. It could have been like he would have leered at Gal Gadot. But yes. This director Patty Jenkins is not, and the whole sexualized thing is kind of missing from the film.
And you know that takes it in a completely different direction. Like you somehow expect it to be this that kind of sexualized superhero thing, but then you're taken aback that they're actually focusing a little bit on different aspects. They're showing you different things, and like it just makes it have a completely different feel than other superhero movies I've seen, at least.
The problem is that this character has always been you can quite easily see that it's she's been drawn by a man for men.
Yes,
I think even if it's a woman and maybe designed to attract girls to comics or whatever, but she has the perfect body, and she has like you can see her thighs, and the she has the socks up until the knee, and it's all very nice to look at, isn't it? It's all very nice to look at, and may I say, Gal Gadot is very nice to look at. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
So there's a problem with. There's a little problem with the whole feminist aspect of Wonder Woman because of the history and because of the attire. And regarding the movie, not so much. No problem there, no. I feel. Yeah. But I'm torn because being happy about this kind of stuff and being mildly entertained and not bored for the what was it, 140 odd minutes?
Yeah, a bit more than 2 hours.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, it was good. Fine. But the whole experience with it, it's so difficult for me to kind of leave the whole silliness stuff behind and enjoy it on that level.
Yeah,
that's the snob in me.
Like it really bugs me. Also, the whole like the third act when it becomes just good evil fighting each other, like huge battle scenes, and just the thing that she is a goddess, you know, like an actual god. It just takes a little bit out of it, like probably also from a feminist perspective, you know, because she's not like any other woman. She is a god.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that that is a problem, and that you're saying that she wasn't to begin with, but it's something that the extended universe probably have made her into.
Maybe.
That's a bit of a shame.
Maybe.
In a way.
But
because I would say, like, Connie Nielsen and Robin Wright, who are those, like, the original Amazon female warriors, you could see them keep up in a fight. Like, you would be like, yeah, I mean, I totally believe that. Here with Gal Gadot, like, running around, it was more like, yeah, she can take this because she's a god.
Yeah.
But it's not because of her physique. It's not because of her, like, her power somehow. She just has it.
Yeah.
And she's beautiful at the same time. Yes. But I mean, it's not like, I mean, these two other characters, they look strong. You could see that they had scars and they were like tough, you know?
But I think I read something about the character is, it's not just, she's not killing people. She's kind of turning people. And she makes them tell the truth with that
lasso. Yeah. Like bondage lasso.
Yes. Bondage lasso, yes.
Maybe, you know, that is. Leftover.
Could be. So there's more to her than just she's...
But she did kill a few people in this movie, right?
Yes, that's...
It seemed that way, at least.
You can't go to Hollywood and not kill people.
No. It's kind of like Batman and this new, like, because he shouldn't be killing people either, but I'm not sure that that's true for the Zack Snyder thing. Like, these pacifist superheroes are just not very pacifistic anymore.
Yeah. I want to make a tiny little point I said earlier about her, how she's drawn, you know, with her nice body and all that attire. But it's not like the male superheroes are like any different. They have this like big chest and muscular, and so it's not like she's breaking form.
No. It's just a bit different when it's a woman.
Yeah. So
I guess
want to make that point.
But they had a huge point about all the attire that women could wear at the time was just not very flexible for moving.
True.
You know, they did try to go a lot into that. Like, this is just impractical. Mm-hmm. It's like, and then what she's wearing is just something that you can make high kicks in.
Well, yeah, you need to make your high kicks.
Yes, and she does in particular. Mm-hmm. You know, so and she wouldn't be able to do that in something different. You could also say that what she actually picks to wear when she's incognito is much more subdued and I don't know, decent in some way, less obvious, manlike. You could go that far.
I liked the little things I liked. For instance, like I said, the creator wanted her to be in bondage, tied up in every issue. Mm-hmm. But they kind of switched it. They did the old switcheroo. When Chris Pine crashes, he's the damsel in distress, and mm-hmm. she comes to his rescue.
Yes.
So that was a nice touch for me.
And you know, that's also good. Like, I can't remember all the times that I teared up, but that could have been one of the times. I don't know.
I am stunned that you teared up at all. I have to say.
Me too. But I really, like, I blame my daughter.
Oh, I don't blame you. I mean, that's absolutely
I blame my daughter. I blame her.
You can... tearing up is just healthy. Just letting the emotions out, that's good.
But
I'm just surprised that you did it over a superhero film.
Yes, me too.
This is not even the best superhero film I've seen this year. I saw Deadpool this year.
Yeah, but that's from last year.
Yes, but I saw it this year. I could also say
sexualizing women, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that has
Deadpool.
Yeah. I there's no getting away from that one. But
I for one didn't tear up in Deadpool.
No, me neither. I was laughing most of the film, though. I was laughing most of them because it's so funny.
Yeah.
But there's nothing beside the feminist aspect of it. There's nothing else to bite to chew on, is there? I mean, this is a very traditional assembling of heroes, and you have the kind of a posse, and there's this funny guy, and they have different characteristics.
But what you do have, though, is a mainstream movie, like highly profitable mainstream movie that actually has some feministic, viewpoints. At least in the first half of the movie.
And for that, and not boring me to tears, I gave it 3 stars out of 5 on Letterboxd.
Yes. And for that, and pulling tears out of my eyes,
yes,
I gave it 4 stars. But I think I would probably also have gone with the 3 stars had I not been tearing up all the time. I was like, they must do something right here.
Yes.
And then I gave them 1 extra.
What did you think about the combat scenes?
Horrible. Mm. Basically. The only one I kind of liked was the first one when she's saying like, hey, why don't you do anything about this thing? When they went to the front.
Yeah.
And she's just basically just walking towards the enemy and being shot at. And I liked that side shot of her just like standing there with her shield and just like making her way forward.
Yeah.
And seeing all the men who have been hiding, just being like, hey, we could actually go up there. It's just like a beautiful sequence.
Yeah.
And that fight scene, her walking across was good. But to me, actually, a lot of the special effects seemed kind of fake. Very fake, especially when she was jumping around. Like, I didn't care for that at all, that she had that kind of superhero strength, superhuman strength.
To quote someone I know rather well, it kind of took me out of it.
Yes.
But when she was walking into a room and there were like men with guns in every corner, and you had these shots where you slow motioned it.
Yeah, the Zack Snyder touch.
Yes, I was going to ask. Is that Zack Snyder touch? Yes, that's it. I liked that. I did.
Yeah.
The close combat kind of thing.
Yeah. They didn't use it that often. Which was nice, you know, and that's probably just because Zack Snyder was a producer of this thing, so he could probably not affect the editor that much. but I got a little bit bored with that whole style in 300. you know, where you have slow motion and then fast forward and then slow motion again.
Okay.
You had that here. It was a little bit different.
It felt right here.
Yeah.
For me.
It felt much better.
Yeah.
It did.
And yeah. yes, I'm reminded of a film we reviewed this winter. Tom Cruise, awful.
Yeah.
Jack Reacher 2.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember that he was in an environment with like 10 bad guys, and they were each coming at one at a time.
Yeah.
But she went into a room, and they were coming all at once, and she was like having to, and they kind of the movement of course the movement was really cool for her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The other stuff, even though it's not comparable at all, it was just stupid.
Mm. Like the clock tower, right?
The clock tower,
for instance.
And this one,
like when they take out the sniper.
Yeah. I mean, like when I said the other one, I was talking about the whole Tom Cruise. I was comparing it to the close combat thing. But yes. I agree. She's a superhero. She can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, but that took me out of it. Like, I wanted her to be a little bit more based on...
There you go. Like, you got taken out of it.
Yes, I was. and also her jumping around and like and her looking like a CGI character and you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There was one thing that I found interesting, though, with the special effects. Sometimes you had these close-ups of her, like, running or something, and you had the background all fussy and stuff like that. And it was clearly, like CGI shots.
Yeah.
But it was so badly made, in quotes, you know, that it reminded me of old movies from the era of, like, well, maybe not the 30s, but like 40s, 50s, like that old style movie making, where you can definitely see that the characters are cut in there, but it's
okay.
So I'm not quite sure if it's actually a stylistic choice to go with that kind of special effect, because that fits for like at least half of the special effect shots.
Okay.
And then you have her jumping around like that and it just looks stupid.
Mm.
You know, but I think they were inspired. I do think that, and for that also I'll give them the benefit of the doubt because I was tearing up. Therefore, it worked.
I think it's
four
on,
stars.
I think it's on the record that you teared up.
Yes.
Four stars, you say.
But I've never teared up that many times in a movie, and I'm never. Like I'm a parent now.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes you tear up all the time. And my
it does.
And always
at the
laughing.
Most unlikely times.
Yeah, she's always laughing at me, my girlfriend, that I keep tearing up about stuff. Mm-hmm. I see my son doing something and or I'd look at a picture of him or video or something and
yeah,
just gets you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does.
I didn't used to be like this.
Mm. I would have wished that you had a daughter right now so you could have been feeling the same things that I felt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe hopefully I'm going to have a daughter one day.
Yeah.
Yes. I hope so.
Never know. Okay. Yeah, I think I'll probably just stick to daughters.
Why?
I don't know.
You've said
I have that
before.
Feeling.
You have that feeling. Don't you think you're going to be a good dad to a boy?
Maybe. I'll probably be good. Yeah. But but I just have a feeling that it's not really a possibility.
That's weird.
I don't know why. I don't know why. It's like just daughters. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. I was very sure that Reskva would be a girl, at least, and and I can't tell you why.
Okay, it's one of those things.
It's one of those things.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, anything else you want to mention about Wonder Woman?
Did I mention that Connie Nielsen is Danish?
She's Danish, I've heard, yes. And
I looked her up. She's from Elling.
Elling?
And yeah, a little commune or like area called Elling in Jutland, near Frederikshavn.
She's gone far.
Yeah, she's a great actress. Mm-hmm. I enjoy her performances.
No argument.
I remember seeing her in Gladiator, and I was very taken with her. Fun fact with Connie Nielsen, though, is that she was not known in Denmark at all when she got that Gladiator gig. Okay. She starred in the first Danish-speaking movie in 2004, which was like 4 years after Gladiator, or like 3 years after. And she's very much just a Hollywood actress, not a Danish one. You know, she's not in Danish movies like that.
No.
I remember seeing her in Gladiator and being like, shouldn't I know her? It seems like she's Danish, but I mean, she's never been on the scene.
Yeah.
You know, which is just really cool. You know, she just didn't do Danish films.
I think for me, she's one of those people that you've seen them multiple times in multiple films, and they're always familiar and always good, solid, and not really main characters most of the time. Just like Kurtwood Smith, who then went on to star in that 70s show, The Father, done like 1,000 films. In a supporting role, and like James Hong, the Asian guy from Wayne's World 2. These are names.
Yes.
Connie Nielsen. Yeah. If you said to me Connie Nielsen before I checked out this film, I remembered it now. But before this film, I would have not connected to that face, that woman.
No.
But yes, I agree. She's always very solid.
Yeah, solid actors.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you never remember them.
Yeah.
But they're good. Ray Wise also.
Ray Wise? Who's that?
Leland from Twin Peaks.
Ah, yes, yes, yes.
Yes, he's also in, what, Alien or something as one of those people? You know, like a soldier.
Yes.
You know, and yeah, it's so much fun seeing these characters just in all kinds of stuff, and you just don't know their names.
Can we do Wayne's World 2 at some point?
Then we would have to say Wayne's World as well.
Okay, Wayne's World and Wayne's World 2. Because that scene where he's fighting the Bruce Lee.
James Hong?
James Hong.
What was this? James Hong?
James Hong. He's the voice.
Yeah.
He's the voice of... No, isn't he? I forget. Never mind. I might be mixing something up. But that means I have to watch Wayne's World 2 one more time.
Yeah. Maybe we should watch it in France, and we could introduce it in the live show.
Wait.
Like a little segment of Wayne's World revisited.
So yeah, we've mentioned this before. We're thinking about doing a live show in France next time.
Yeah.
And maybe taking one or two shows off after that. So, but we'll get back to you guys on that.
But because of the live show, we'll end it with a bang, and then we'll return a few weeks later.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I'm sticking to that French New Wave. We're gonna be serious about that. Yes.
Yeah, but we might not have watched so many of them since the live show is kind of early in the vacation, but we might have a few to discuss there.
And we are thinking about... what was it? Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, Planet of the Apes.
You like that opening franchise, don't you?
Quite a lot. You know, I was again surprised by liking it, but I think it's very competently done, actually, and has some good themes. The new one has Woody Harrelson in it. He's well, he's good. You know, maybe not a mark of a great film. I mean, always having him in.
He's always good, but he's not something that kind of draws me out to see.
Film. Andy Serkis, though.
Huh.
Andy Serkis, though. You know, the guy who played Gollum.
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
The guy who plays Caesar in Planet of the Apes.
Okay,
he's good.
I admit I've not seen any of those Planet of the Apes, except the old one, of course.
Okay, well, you should really watch it. Like, they are surprisingly, not to give you higher expectations, but they're surprisingly good.
Yeah, but still, they're apes.
Yes.
And they're taking over Earth, is it?
Maybe in this one.
Okay. That,
because I mean, they started a long time, like before that. Like, the first one is just about one ape that can actually communicate a little bit better.
Yeah, but that right away is difficult for me. But still, yeah. I mean,
suspension of belief.
Yeah, maybe I'll try that. Yeah. But always up for a good movie. I'm a sucker for like action films like John Wick or Payback or such films, but
there's action in this one. It's just like half of the cast is apes.
Yeah.
But you know,
are they entirely CGI apes or are they
they're mocap CGI apes, so it's amazingly done, amazingly well done.
What's mocap?
Motion capture.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
that's what I was thinking.
They have all those dots on them, you know, walking around. And that's why Andy Serkis is one of the greatest in that scene, apparently, because he did such a good job on Gollum to make him believable.
That was mocap,
and that was mocap as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I learned something now. Mocap.
Yes. Motion now you will capture. Use mocap all the time.
Motion capture CGI. I don't even flinch when you say CGI.
No,
exactly. Yeah. Okay, so what do you think? Are we done?
Yeah, I think so. Also, like, if we're doing this live show next time,
when we do a live show,
we might be doing, please write in and give us some feedback, maybe some interesting ideas that we can do on this live show. You can write to us at contact@theconversationpodcast.net. Or, well, just shoot us a message on Facebook.
Like always, you can leave the messages everywhere, all our platforms. But one thing about the live show, isn't that like live on camera?
I think it would be, yes.
So yeah,
We haven't quite figured out all the intricacies of the live show, but I'm thinking we'll be having a camera on and us in the same room and sharing it live on YouTube or Facebook.
Nice.
Yeah,
that is something to look forward to. I mean,
that is something to look forward to.
Us to be in the same room at the same time.
That's something that has never happened before. Well, I mean, privately,
of course,
but not in this in this situation. Mm.
Did I do no? I still have to do my letterbox thing. Yeah. Did you do the stuff?
Yeah. Well, okay. So now that we're at it, you can also please leave us feedback on iTunes because we would love to get some ratings in there, and SoundCloud, we're over there. The Conversation Podcast, a Nordic Film Podcast.
Yeah, and of course our website,
theconversationpodcast.net.
Exactly. And then there's my outro introduction. Please leave us a message or something or whatnot on Letterboxd. We have a list of films and stuff we discuss in the show there, and we're gonna make one for this one as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was not a good outro.
I think it was a great outro.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah. So next time we will be in the same room recording this show together. You guys out there will be on the other side of the line.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
That's something.
That's something.
Yeah. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show today, and see you in a couple of weeks.